Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Tennessee and Kentucky, a big Saturday coming up tomorrow. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Kyle, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm great. I got to say, as you made that introduction, I know Michelle likes the Catterday thing. I think it's the worst attempt of hyping up the day by a college program that I've ever seen, because all I think about when I see it, all I read is Cat Turd Day. And I can't deal with it every time I see it. Cat turd.
Kyle, it does never, spell out turd.
Just one syllable. I never liked you more than I do right now. This is a great moment. Great moment. So Kyle, with that in mind,
poor Michelle,
for the cat turd day tomorrow against Tennessee. What is this Kentucky team? Obviously, they've had some huge wins this year. They destroyed LSU. Really impressive win against Florida. You know, obviously, nobody's really hanging there with Georgia right now. And then last week against Mississippi State comes around, and the turnovers are an issue. Mississippi State has a lot of success through the air. What have you made of this Kentucky football team, and where exactly do you think they are heading into this matchup against Tennessee?
Yeah, it's really interesting because they start 6-0. I think it was like the fourth time in 50 years or something that they started 6-0. Everybody was fired up. They beat Florida at home for the first time in 35 years. As you mentioned, they crushed LSU. I mean, if you look at it now, though, that 6-0 start was against, I think I totaled it up after last weekend, and it was against teams that combined were one or two games over 500. Florida and LSU, obviously not what they often are this year. Nonetheless, they look pretty good through half the season. I think what we've seen probably from Kentucky is just how hard it is to keep climbing in the SEC, and that I would say, you know, Kentucky's top 22 guys can probably hang with all but one or two teams, you know, probably all but Georgia and Alabama in the league. Their top 22 probably is right up there with everybody in the league. But there's a difference in that and being able to get through 12 weeks, you know, with enough depth. And depth is where, you know, in the SEC, depth of really good players. That's why the five-star the blue-chip ratio that people talk about to be a national title contender, you got to have, you know, 40 of those guys on your roster. Kentucky's probably got 25, which is way more than they ever had before. But, you know, you get a couple key injuries, you get some guys banged up, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, what happened Saturday. I think there's also an element of, you know, it happened in 2018 when Kentucky won 10 games. They were rolling and rolling and rolling, and they get set up to this November game where it's essentially an elimination game in the East. The winner is going to win the East between Kentucky and Georgia. There's all this hype for it, and Georgia blows their doors off, and then they come out and lay a total egg against Tennessee the next week because they kind of let the air out of the balloon. And that's kind of what happened, I think, in the Mississippi State game. They had all this buildup. They thought they could go challenge Georgia. They didn't. You know, that's off the table, and they have a letdown. They were coming off a bye week, too. I think just some of the air went out of the balloon there. So that's where they are right now. I think a little bit defeated. They were a little bit banged up. But I would also say, you know, my hunch is that they will be incredibly fired up because they felt a little humiliated by what happened in Starkville. Their brand under Mark Stoops has been kind of smash mouth, you know, run it on you, hit you in the face. That's what they did in Knoxville last year against Tennessee. I imagine they'll try to get back to that. Chris Rodriguez, their star running back, he was leading the SEC in rushing, kind of took a beating against that Georgia defense and was hurt against Mississippi State and was just terrible in that game. And they say he's had a great week of practice and has healed up. So, I think they'll try to make a statement. We'll find out if they've got enough guys right now that are healthy enough to do it.
Kyle, I can't sit here and let you disparage the amazing coaching job Jeremy Pruitt did on that fine day in 2018,
yeah.
Showing us all of the great things that come for Tennessee football. No, you may have a point there. Now,
I do think that's why I'm not sure I will ever comfortably pick Kentucky to beat Tennessee, because it doesn't matter how good Kentucky is or how bad Tennessee is in that moment. It's like so many times that Kentucky, I thought, at least was good enough to make it a game, get run off the field or get stunned by not a very good Tennessee team. It's happened plenty in recent years. Last year was the big surprise to me that Kentucky went in there and kind of drubbed them. But, it won't surprise me at all if Tennessee wins this game on Saturday.
Well, what about Will Levis? Because to me, that's just been, as I've looked at Kentucky, first of all, I mean, I agree. Like, I think Mark Stoops has done things. When you talk about having 25 of those guys, I never would have guessed that would ever happen at that program. And just the consistency and the physicality and all these things, it's just so impressive. I don't think it gets talked about enough in terms of the kind of job he's had. But obviously the last couple of years, it's like, man, they struggle to throw the ball when they need to throw the ball. It's better this year. But what is your assessment through a half season of Will Levis?
Yeah, he's kind of hit or miss. I think you can see why he was the guy that Penn State used. Like, that he wasn't just stuck on the bench, even with an established starter. They were using him quite a bit over the last 2 years. But also why he wasn't the guy, because he's inconsistent. The accuracy, sometimes the decision-making, not great. He's got a huge arm. He's probably got the best arm of any quarterback at Kentucky in, you know, I don't know, 20 years. I mean, it's been
Tim Couch?
Time. Yeah, I mean, maybe. It is a cannon, and he's a really good athlete. He's built like a tank. Really, some of his most impressive plays this year have been these just sort of like, you know, all out crazy runs where he lowers his shoulder and runs people over. He had a crazy spin move, I think, in the LSU game. He's an intriguing physical talent, but he hasn't put it all together in the past game yet. They've got the new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, from the Rams. He's had some games. Cohen has had some games where he was pushing all the right buttons, and you could see sort of that bright, young offensive mind. But they're missing a few things. One, the quarterback, like you said, Levis is, you know, he's hit or miss on the accuracy. He's great on the deep ball, though they haven't hit any of those in the last 2 weeks. But typically great on the deep ball, not so much on some of the other touch passes. He'll give the ball to you. He'll throw some interceptions. A lot of times they're off the receiver's hands, which you can put on them a little bit, but because they're a little bit off target. And then the other thing is they just don't have enough weapons yet at wide receiver. Wandale Robinson, the Nebraska transfer, who's from Kentucky, Mr. Football in Kentucky, he's been electric. He might still be top two or three in the SEC in catches and receiving yards. But that's kind of it. Like, that's kind of all they've got in the pass game. And so they're out, I think, tirelessly recruiting weapons to throw the ball to, but that makes a difference. That I think that affects your quarterback too, when there's just not a lot of open guys or guys who are going to go make a tough catch for you. And so the passing game is not quite there yet, which allows teams like Georgia and then, you know, ultimately Mississippi State, I think last week, to just really sell out and stop the run. And we've seen that a little bit too. So they definitely need Levis, and I guess Wandale Robinson, to try to take the top off of the defense a couple times Saturday to open that running game back up. Because that's whatever Mark Stoops is trying to do to balance the offense. When Kentucky's been good over the last 5 years, it's been because they could just line it up and run it down your throat. And more often than not, they have been able to do that.
Kyle Tucker from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Kyle, obviously Tennessee is going to want to go fast offensively in this game, going to want to run the ball as well. How equipped is this Kentucky defense to handle what Josh Heupel and company are going to try to throw at them?
Well, I think that also puts a lot of pressure on Kentucky's offense, because I do think Tennessee is going to score. I've been really impressed with that offense. I mean, they have scored on everybody. I mean, and Kentucky's defense has been a little bit disappointing over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I think their defensive coordinator, Brad White, said this week that they missed, I think, 20 tackles in the Mississippi State game, which is just a terrible, terrible number. They haven't been good enough. Part of it, you know, again, injuries. They've had multiple guys, key guys on the defense, injured. When you talk about recruiting and the depth it takes to survive in the SEC, you know, they had, you know, an NFL draft pick, at defense, at nose guard, excuse me, inside that was kind of a wrecking ball. McCall, he gets injured. They have a four-star recruit step up. Oxendine, who looked awesome in the LSU game, was just flattening people, and he gets hurt out for the season in that game. And so now you're down to your third guy. I mean, Kentucky's typically on the offensive and defensive line over the years barely had, you know, a good starting group. Now they're deep enough. They got two really good, you know, first and second string on both sides of the ball. But not even most of the top teams in the country are going to do too well when you get down to the third string guy. And that's kind of where they sit. They've got a couple linebackers banged up. I think it's a real challenge. I think Tennessee is going to score points. To me, Kentucky almost has to outscore them, really, on Saturday.
All right, I got to ask you about what, you know, 97% of Big Blue Nation has turned attention to, as I'm assuming at least, Kyle.
The rifle, the national championship-winning rifle team.
Well, we can talk that, too, if you like. I didn't know about that. See, that's a good tidbit. But, yeah, how are Cal's guys looking? It looks like... I mean, I know he has loaded rosters often, but it looks like this could be a pretty intriguing mix.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting Kentucky team for two reasons. One, what they're coming out of, the worst season in like 94 years at Kentucky, a 9-win season that kind of was shocking to everybody. And then two, how Cal went about sort of rebuilding the roster, and it was not at all the normal way that he does. He's only got three freshmen total, maybe only one that he's counting on, one or two that he's definitely counting on to be a huge piece of this, and then he's got returning guys and transfers, and this will be one of, if not the most experienced team in college basketball this year. It is the most experienced team in Kentucky history. They looked that up the other day based on college minutes played, games started, points scored. You know, not all those guys have been at Kentucky. They've got Kellen Grady, who's got 2,000 points at Davidson. Oscar Tshiebwe, who was the best rebounder in the Big 12 at West Virginia. C.J. Frederick, the most accurate three-point shooter at Iowa in the Big 10. And then I'm forgetting one more. Sevier Wheeler, who led the SEC in assists last year. And they've got four or five guys back who played a bunch for them. They've got juniors who've been there for a while. It's really crazy that Calipari, kind of the king of one and done, who multiple years has started five freshmen, this year he could go six deep before he even has to play a freshman. He'll have one in the starting lineup for sure, Ty Washington, who they think is going to be a star. But all around him are, you know, juniors, seniors, and super seniors. They have two of the super seniors who are playing a fifth year of college basketball and have over 100 starts in college basketball. That's just a really unique situation over the last 12 years at Kentucky. That they've never had anything like that under Cal, and really never had anything like it, period. So they've got an old group for once, and Cal's not teaching sort of remedial math to start the season. He's jumping in with some higher-level concepts, and I think that's, more than anything, he doesn't have as many guys that are going to really just pop and you're going to go, that guy's definitely a pro. But he has a bunch of dudes who know how to play the game, and I think that'll be probably pretty refreshing for him, and I think definitely refreshing for kind of a beleaguered fan base that's a little tired of the constant roster churn and watching 18-year-olds try to figure out how to play basketball for the first two or three months of the season.
Kyle Tucker from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Kyle, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, absolutely. Kyle.
Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Not a big fan of Caturday, Kyle Tucker.
Caturd.
One syllable. Caturday.
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 So I forgot to ask Kyle if he will be at Kroger Field. Is that the journalism aisle? Like where? What did they call the press box at Kroger Field?
Box at Kroger Field is very nice.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, right. We got some nice facilities over there, guys.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
Kroger Field, sure, you know, nothing but the best.
Yeah, that's right. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday is the Minnesota Vikings at the Baltimore Ravens with a noon kickoff on 102.5 The Game. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion on Tennessee and Kentucky. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. GoToTheGameNashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves as the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get your deal now at TheGameNashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rex Road, obviously, this is a big matchup tomorrow for Tennessee and Kentucky for both teams, a rivalry game. Right now, the line on the FanDuel Sportsbook is a half a point in favor of Kentucky. So basically a pick 'em game tomorrow in Lexington. Your keys to victory for the Tennessee Volunteers in this game would be what?
Well, I just think it's, I mean, to me, it's one key, and that's just have a good mistake-free balanced day offensively. And I don't know that Kentucky can keep up on the scoreboard. If Tennessee executes, if the mazes are out there on the offensive line, if the backs are healthy, there's a lot of positivity about that coming out of Knoxville this week. And you execute the way you've been executing, then I think you're in good shape. I mean, like defensively, you know, I think Tennessee will get some stops, make some plays. As Kyle said, you know, obviously the run game is a huge thing for. I mean, if you're Kentucky, to me the key is like keep the ball and finish drives with touchdowns. But you know, keep the ball. And Tennessee doesn't care because they'll they have 9 second touchdown drives. But that's what you want to do, is keep the ball away from them. So I mean, Tennessee's defense, I think, as long as it doesn't have just a complete awful day and give up all these big plays, you know, then I think you leave it in the hands of your offense, and the offense is good enough to win this game.
Health going to be a big key. Obviously, it looks like the running game could have Tyon Evans and Jabari Small as a 1-2 punch, which they've not really had a ton so far this year. So it'd be interesting to see what that looks like with those two guys. It looks like the Mays brothers could be healthier as well. So some good news on the injury front, the bye week coming at the right time for Tennessee after the Alabama game. It's going to be interesting in this game. And a lot of Tennessee fans that I've spoken to this week, they're nervous, because if you would have asked people 3-4 weeks ago, Kentucky's probably a pretty decent favorite in this game. As I said, now it's basically down to a pick 'em, and that's making Tennessee fans a little nervous based on what we've seen so far. It's going to be an interesting game. This is a big one for Josh Heupel.
It is. I mean, this is the last. Well, I shouldn't say it's the last. They have Georgia next week. Georgia will be in Neyland Stadium. There will be a football game. But to me, the last realistic chance of a signature win, and I do think it's a signature win. You're talking about a ranked team. What is Kentucky, 17, 18 in the playoff rankings?
Yeah.
Even after the loss to Mississippi State, they would have been pushing for top 10 had they played better and won that game. But it's a good program. It's a program that you have to measure yourself by. Whether you like it or not, you have to. You have to measure yourself by them as a team and a program right now. And I think Kentucky is a great demonstration of what stability can do. Now, Tennessee has not had anything close to stability. Tennessee has a higher ceiling as a program, but that's when you find someone who can give you a certain level of stability and an identity in terms of that type of football you want to play, that means a lot. But right now, Tennessee is chasing that and chasing Kentucky on the recruiting trail and everything. So this would be one of those games that if you can win it in your first year, go into their house when they're ranked and you're unranked, and win that game, you can turn around and say to recruits, okay, great job by Kentucky this year. They've done a nice job, but we can be better than this in years to come. Why wouldn't you want to come play with us?
And then we'll see what happens with the big bet coming up this weekend as well. A lot riding on this game in terms of whether or not I'm going to be wearing a Kentucky hat or shirt coming in on Monday.
I think you would look great in Kentucky blue, Rob.
You think so?
Much better than the gaudy orange.
Oh, wow. Ripping the orange. Oh, my goodness. So, wait,
just went Sandra Bullock on me.
I did go Sandra Bullock on you.
Do we have actually items of clothing picked out for the loser if you win your bet?
Oh, I am bringing all of the Kentucky gear. I will have stuff for me to wear on Monday, Kentucky. I will have stuff for Robbie to wear Kentucky on Monday. Joe, I might even bring a hat for you.
Well, I'm not.
He'll be in L.A.
Joe. Oh, yeah, you will be in L.A., so it'll just be Rob and I.
I will be talking like this to you as you both.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Speak about the big Kentucky Tennessee game. Okay, but do you have... Okay, so right now you have something in mind for him, or you're gonna like go get something this weekend?
I have a shirt in mind.
I think you should bring, if you win, like a really extra small shirt, like a half shirt or something.
I was gonna say, I mean, like, why it's not make important it... to keep in mind that my shirt size is much larger than Michelle's.
Why not make it embarrassing, you know?
We could do a little crop top for Rob.
And what about you,
about
Rob?
Getting some views.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of this show's appeal is our sex appeal. So, you know, I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest here about what the people want.
Joe, I'll bring you some UK flip-flops for Heidi.
That would actually...
There you go.
Yeah, I will wear the UK flip-flops to the pedicure.
In LA.
Pedicure. Yeah. Yes. Or there you go. So what about you, Robbie? Do you have something in mind?
Oh, yeah.
Like the most orange of all orange things for Michelle to wear?
Oh, it's going to be incredibly orange, yes. Outstanding. It's going to be awesome.
It'll just match my hair and my skin tone.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The Nashville Predators will honor recently retired goaltender Pekka by hanging his number 35 in the Bridgestone Arena rafters coming up on February 24th of 2022. And in honor of this night, the team has announced the 35 Pekka plan. This ticket plan allows fans to attend either 3 or 5 games during the 21-22 season, including the February 24th game against the Dallas Stars, while also seeing a donation made to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The 35 Pekka plan is the best way to get tickets to this historic event, and all fans in attendance will receive a replica Pekka jersey retirement banner. Visit NashvillePredators.com/Pekka plan to get your pack today. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We pick both pro and college football games, and we begin like we do every week with a quick standings update. Joe Rex Road, do you have the updated standings in our competition, which is not going very well for you and I?
Do I have to?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right. Yeah, so last week, so what happened was I went 1-5, didn't get my lock. Robbie, you went 2-4, didn't get your lock. Michelle went 5-1. She didn't get her lock, though. So,
that's good.
So there you go. Glimmer of hope for us. So Michelle now, 35-13.
Woo!
40 points, 5-3 on her locks. Robbie, you're at even 500, 24-24, 25 points. You are 1-7 on your locks. I am an abysmal 21-27, 23 points, 2-6 on my locks. I'm still only 2 points behind you. So it's Robbie and Joe in the toilet bowl competition, which I believe, is there a toilet bowl aisle / section in the Kroger Field, by the way? Like,
I'm sure you could find your way to it.
Toilet paper, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah, the toilet paper has T's on it that are orange, if you recognize that logo.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
All right. I'll shut up.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's begin with that game. No Vanderbilt in action this week, so we'll begin this week with Tennessee and Kentucky. Kentucky favored by 0.5 in this game, so it's essentially a pick 'em. Michelle, we begin with you. I don't even really need to ask you this because I know where you're going, but I'll ask you anyway. Kentucky or Tennessee?
Kentucky! There you go. I hope everybody enjoyed that so much.
Well, if you're so confident, lock it down.
Well, no.
Okay.
I like to win better, and I'm not going to lock it down. I got to just...
Hedging bets. That showed a little bit of a...
Brain and heart.
Uh-huh.
No. Joe Rexro, Tennessee and Kentucky, essentially a pick 'em in this matchup.
Balls lock.
Wow. Going with a lock.
Where's my lock sound? Give me my lock sound.
I just did it.
I didn't hear it. Did you hear it?
No.
You're muting my lock. You're muting my lock sound. There we go. The Vols, it's not going to be a blowout, but I feel very confident the Vols win this game by about a score of 38-28.
Wow.
It's an easy lock. Now, the problem, now here's the thing, Michelle, because I locked it, you should actually feel better about your team winning. But anyway, Vols lock.
I will go with Tennessee as well. And I too will lock it down. I was going to lock it down.
Wow.
I'm locking this thing down too. Look, I feel pretty confident in this Tennessee offense. So I'm locking it down with the Vols. Sorry to all Tennessee fans. That means they're probably totally screwed at this point.
I mean, Tennessee fans who listen to this show have to be so mad at us right now because we're probably just so. Totally just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Based on you guys picking that, I feel more confident now.
I mean, I can't argue with you.
The Titans and the Rams coming up on Sunday Night Football. The Rams now favored by 7 in this game. Was it 7.5? Now the line at 7 points. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. The Rams and the Titans.
Yeah, I hate this line. Man, I hate this line. I mean, a half point either way, you know, it makes a big difference. But I'm going to go with the Titans. I think the Titans are going to lose a close game. I think something in the range of 31-27 Rams. And I'm not at all taking off the tables the Titans winning this game outright. I think it sets up psychologically, lose Derrick Henry, you're not a contender anymore, et cetera, et cetera. It sets up for them to respond very well. I think they will and keep it close. So give me the Titans in the 7.
I will go with the Rams in this game. I think it's going to be a close game into the second half, but I think the process of figuring things out offensively without Derrick Henry is going to take a minute, and I will go with the Rams to win by 10 in this game. Michelle Knezvik, the Titans and the Rams.
I think that on Sunday it's going to be a Mike Vrabel special. All this news about Derrick Henry this week, the Titans are done. This is when they perform the best, when they're out of the game. So I'm taking the Titans and make it my lock, guys.
Yeah! Lock. I feel better about my pick now.
Down on the Titans. Very well done by Michelle Knezvik. So like I said, no Vanderbilt this week. So we'll have 4 individual selections. I'll kick us off here. This line to me is really interesting in college football. Ohio State minus 14.5 against Nebraska. I think Ohio State's playing a lot better as of late. Give me Ohio State minus the 14.5 against Will's Nebraska Cornhuskers. Sorry, Will. We apologize to you. Joe Rexford, your first individual selection.
Yeah, Liberty at Ole Miss. Ole Miss minus 9.5. You know, Liberty, good story. Got good old Hugh Freeze. Malik Willis is an NFL prospect, as is Matt Corral. I think Ole Miss is going to respond, and I just think that ultimately they're going to win this game going away. So I definitely like Ole Miss given the 9.5.
It's 8.5 right now because I have that one too.
It's down to 8.5.
Oh.
So you definitely.
Well, then even better. Thanks.
You're welcome. Michelle Knezvik, your first individual selection.
They did wonders for me last week. Wake Forest has been putting up numbers. Wake Forest is the underdog in this game. UNC favored by 2.5. I'm taking Wake Forest.
So going with Wake Forest against North Carolina, probably a pretty good pick on that front. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
So Tulsa at Cincinnati minus 22.5. I think that this week, I think for themselves and really for the entire college football watching nation, the Bearcats are going to absolutely open up a can on whoever it may be. This week it happens to be Tulsa. I think Cincinnati wins this by 30+. Give me the Bearcats minus the 22.5.
So expecting the Bearcats to be angry after the college football playoff rankings. Michelle Knezvik, your second individual selection.
Quick question. Are we allowed to do the same game? Because I had Ole Miss as well.
Yeah, we've done it.
Sure.
Go ahead. I have Ole Miss, Liberty. Ole Miss favored by 8.5. I'm taking Ole Miss. Lane train, baby. All right.
There you go. My second individual selection. I will go Sparty minus the 2.5 against Purdue. Michigan State, I think they get it done by a touchdown in this game against the Boilermakers. So give me Sparty minus 2.5 against Purdue.
Sparty's been good to you.
Yeah, Sparty's been very good to me. Michelle Knezvik, your third individual selection.
Moving to the NFL, Patriots-Panthers. The Pats are favored by 3.5. I'm taking the Pats.
I've been very impressive from the Panthers as of late. So going with the Patriots in that game, I too will go to the NFL. I think the Niners are getting better. I like what they've done the last couple of weeks. A pretty good performance last week against Chicago. But I also like the Arizona Cardinals, and somehow the Niners are favored in this game. Give me the Cardinals +2 against the Niners. I will take Arizona all day in that matchup. Joe Rexrode, your third individual selection.
Sticking with college, Penn State at Maryland. Maryland getting 10. Again, this is one of those where I'd love 9.5. But, I just think Penn State certainly had their hopes dashed. The big question with them is how much do they got three losses. Like, how much do they have left? But I think that they go thrash a not very good Maryland team. So give me Penn State -10.
Joe Rexrode, go ahead and kick us off with your fourth and final individual selection.
And my one NFL pick here of the four, Chargers at Eagles. Eagles -1.5. I know that this is the classic West Coast team traveling east scenario that often gets the West Coast team. But I think the Chargers buck that and handle the Eagles. So give me the Chargers +1.5.
I will go with the Pittsburgh Steelers as my final selection against the Bears. They're favored by 6 against Chicago. That's a big line when it comes to that Pittsburgh offense. But I think Justin Fields and that Bears offense is going to have a whole lot of trouble moving the ball against Pittsburgh's defense. So I will take the Steelers -6 against the Chicago Bears. Michelle Konezovic, your final individual selection.
So, Rob, I was going to go with the Cards 49ers, but I'm going to change it because I'm going to make it interesting. Packers, Kansas City.
There we go.
No Aaron Rodgers this week. Kansas City is favored by 7.5. I say they take it. I say they cover. And we're going to have a sad Robbie Stanley.
My goodness. So not only are you going to make him wear a blue half shirt, you're going to taunt him about Jordan Love's terrible performance against the Chiefs. I'm sad I won't be here Monday morning.
You want to hear an extra edition of Call Your Shot Friday?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Packers win outright. Go to 8-1 against Kansas City. Kansas City's not good.
You better advocate for McLovin to lose his job if this happens.
I will not do that, but the Packers will win outright this weekend. Book it. Write it down.
I'll put that in the Call Your Shots.
All right. That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Joe, good luck. Michelle, as always, you don't need it. So looking forward to this weekend.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you, too.
I can't wait for one of you two to lose. I'm so excited for one of you to lose and be miserable. Monday.
I am such a bad loser.
Is that bad? Am I a bad person?
No, I'm a really bad loser. I feel like Robbie is, too.
Oh, I am. But it's going to happen to one of us coming up, so looking forward to that on Monday.
You guys need to do a Robbie Michelle cast for the game. Come on, make it happen.
Should we?
Facebook
should
Live.
We delay it? Should we delay it until Tuesday so you can be here for it? That's my question.
I mean, I'll be able to laugh quietly in my hotel room in L.A. at 4 a.m.
Robbie, let's go Instagram Live before the game.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We'll see what we can do on that front. When we come back, it is time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. You can hear Nashville SC take on New York coming up on Sunday on ESPN 94.9. Be caller number 1-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 1 will have their opportunity to guess the goal scorer for Nashville SC in that game. We've also got some tickets to give away on the other side as well. So all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in! Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rexrode make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is that time of the week, time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila here on Robbie and Rexrode. Nashville SC in action coming up on Sunday, taking on the New York Red Bulls. You can hear that on Sunday on ESPN 94.9, pregame at 2:15. The match begins at 2:30. And the standings are as such. The listeners in full control of the competition with 8, although I will say Michelle Konezovic has creeped up in there with 6. So she made it close to end the regular season, the last regular season match coming up on Sunday for Nashville SC. And then we'll get into some playoff NSC Pick to Click as well. Robbie with 3, Joe Rexrode with three as well. Rexrode, you're up first in the competition today. Your selection for NSC pick to click is whom?
Well, I'm going to go with a real deep cut here, guys. I think it's time to really think outside the box and go Hani Mukhtar.
Oh, wow. Really well done by
you. Did I fool you?
No, you did not.
No.
All right.
Hani Mukhtar, the selection by Joe Rexrode. I will go with CJ Sapong in this match. Got a feeling he puts one in the back of the net tonight, which leaves the door open for you, Michelle Knezvik. Who are you going to select?
Just like I picked Ryan Johansson, going back to the roots, Randall Leal. It's going to find the back of the net.
Randall Leal, the selection. By the way, we've also got some tickets to give away for this match to see Nashville SC take on New York coming up on Sunday. If you could answer our trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Remember, it must be on the text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nashville SC clinching another home playoff game coming up when the MLS playoffs get underway. Who did Nashville SC's first playoff win come against last year? Who did Nashville SC's first playoff win come against last year? What team did they play? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you get it right, you can win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on New York at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. So hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. Joe, it's a big weekend in the sports world. You've got the Preds in action tonight, Nashville SC coming up on Sunday, obviously Tennessee and Kentucky, and the Titans and the Rams as well. Pretty good weekend for sports here locally in our area, and really interesting to see how the Titans come out on Sunday night and respond with no Derrick Henry in this game against LA.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the three of us, and I don't feel like we're really in a minority here, expect them to respond well. Now, look, I mean, they've done so much, not just in recent weeks, but also I think during Vrabel's tenure as coach in situations kind of like this, but not exactly this, that I think that that's kind of built that expectation. But it's interesting to me to think about how this week has changed from mid-show Monday and, a good day of just like, oh, my, you know, total despair, right? When you lose a player like Derrick Henry to a lot more optimism here in a short period of time. So we'll see.
Yeah, like, you know, I took the Rams in Pigskin Pick'em to cover the 7 points. I don't feel great about it. I really don't. I mean, this is one of those games where I've seen the Titans do this time and time again. When everybody's not really giving them much of a chance, they come in, they play well. Oftentimes, they win the game. You know, I still think it's going to be really difficult for the Titans to win this game. I would have said that with Derrick Henry in the lineup as well. So, you know, the Rams are a really good team. They got some great players on the defensive side of the ball. And you said it before the season. I wasn't as much of a believer as you were, but you're right. Matthew Stafford has made a gigantic difference for this team. And here they are among the handful of Super Bowl threats that you want to pick out of the NFC. The Rams absolutely belong in that conversation.
Yeah, they do. I think if there's one thing about this matchup that's different in a good way from the last three, we talked a little bit about it earlier. Matthew Stafford is a heck of a quarterback, incredible arm talent. Very tough. He is the more stationary pocket presence. Now, that's a good offensive line. You have to get there. But if the Titans can bring their fastball with the pass rush, bring, you know, what they brought against Kansas City, and that we've seen, I think, more and more, and can get to him and bother him, he's not the guy who hurts you or that you have to worry about him breaking the pocket. Really, even like the loose plays, you know, rolling or scrambling. I mean, he's a keep him on his spot and he'll pick you apart. But affecting him to me is probably as much a key as anything in this game.
Yep, going to be a big key in this game. And it's one of those things where you look at this matchup, it sure would be nice to have Julio Jones out there. It's trending like maybe he will be. And you brought up maybe Christian Fulton. TD didn't seem to be as high on Christian Fulton as you were.
Well, he's right in terms of it would be one of those, like it isn't following the process of the return to practice and then be out there. So it's just one of those, like, just thrown out there as a as a possibility, yeah. as a little surprise activation. But if not, you know, how is Chris Jackson? How is Greg Maben? Who's after Breon Borders if those guys both can't go and neither of them has practiced this week?
Yeah, that's something really that's interesting to keep an eye on. Yeah, that's you talk about scary. Congratulations to Joey on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Correctly guessing, did Miami, the first Nashville SC playoff win last year. I was there for it. It was quite a fun game. Randall Leal with an absolute rocket in that game. It's fun stuff at Nissan Stadium last year.
Yeah, heck of a run, and we're going to see if they can have another one. More expectation for one this time around.
Joe Rexroad, I'm really looking forward to Monday and you doing the show with probably 0 hours of sleep after the LA game Sunday night.
Robbie, you're looking very nice in your half shirt, in Kentucky blue. Hello, everybody.
Wait a minute. There's a little preview.
There's a little preview.
Okay. Well, we are already talking about the fashion I'm going to bring for you on Monday.
I mean, come on, man. We both locked the Vols. If that doesn't guarantee they get crushed in this game, I don't know what does.
I know. By the way, some quick breaking news before we get out of here. Adrian Peterson is being signed to the active roster today. Don't think that's a huge surprise. This coming from Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network. So not a big surprise, but Adrian Peterson looks like he'll be in there on Sunday for the Titans. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back on Monday at 6 a.m. Hope everybody enjoys your weekend. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.